Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org. Rampant referrals for MSPs, Part 8, Communication Sabotage, Subsection B. So as a quick recap from last time, we looked at the four main silos of communications that can be sabotaged, which were number one, internal to internal, i.e. your MSP staff to other MSP staff in your business. Number two, internal to external, which is your MSP staff to your stakeholders' staff. Number three is external to external, which is your stakeholders' staff to other stakeholders' staff within that business. And lastly, number four, external to external also, which is stakeholders' staff to stakeholders' stakeholders. Now this time we'll have a look at the situations around how communications can be sabotaged. So that will then enable you to have a matrix of silos or stakeholders and situations, meaning that you'll have a whole new world to map out in terms of where you can improve your communications for referrals. And as always, we'll start with why, i.e. reasons why you don't get more referrals than you do. So part A is neglecting to ask for referrals. So for the moment, we'll assume that it's not down to a lack of motivation by your staff, because we've already covered motivation. We'll assume that people simply forget to ask, and this is probably one of the most common reasons, if not the most common reason, for a lack of referrals. And the simple fact is that over time, if you ask for referrals more often, you will get more referrals. And people forget, or maybe they're too embarrassed, or they don't know where or when, and we'll cover those various different reasons. But for now, let's just overcome the issue of people forgetting to ask for referrals. So the solution to that, like many things, is to systemize it. And by that I mean ensure that asking for referrals is part of a regular process. We can come back to implementing an entire system for requesting referrals, but for now, let's just look at the basics. My suggestion would be that at the very least you have a process to ask for reviews and referrals as part of your regular review sessions that I assume that you're having with your clients. Now to be clear, this is where you go over their IT estate and you map out what they're using and what they're not using and identify and agree where their gaps are and make suggestions and basically make sure that they're being looked after properly. So assuming that you do this monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly or biannually or annually or whatever, then just make sure that you include a few minutes of that process to ask for some client feedback and at the same time ask if they know anyone who might want to receive some information or promotional collateral from you about whatever might be trending at the time. And each time that you ask if they want information about something different from the last time that you asked. So if you offered information maybe about email security last time, next time you could offer information about an event or training or whatever about AI or business continuity planning or CRM or whatnot, and hopefully they'll be able to think of people to whom that will be relevant and useful. So to be clear, make that part of your process. You can also tag these questions on the back of customer service tickets and other customer contact points. Without going into the finest details here, because as I say, we'll cover that in another section, just make sure that it is procedurized so that people get asked as a matter of course, regularly and differently. Of particular note here in terms of communications and feedback, especially in this new world where people meet more often than not over Zoom or Teams and you can see each other's faces rather than just over the phone, ignoring non-verbal customer feedback and missing non-verbal cues or indirect feedback such as body language or patterns in customer behaviour, which might sometimes indicate dissatisfaction, that could be very sabotaging indeed to your referral flow. So to reiterate a point we made before, perhaps some training in soft skills might be useful here, especially as apparently only 7% of the communications that you receive comes from the actual words that people use, and the rest of it is a mixture of non-verbal and verbal communication such as tone and inflection and facial expressions and body language and such like. And if you're really interested, you can refer to the pioneering studies by Albert Mehrabian and others for more information. I think from memory it was broken down into something like 55% non-verbal communication, 38% of it was vocal, and 7% was the actual words people used. Or it's something like that. I'm sure the actual figures are contested in different research and studies, but what I have no doubt about is that making a decision to get good at non-verbal communication would be a very positive step for you and for your team. So getting back to the point, and to be fair, what we covered in another session about service, a lot of the reasons people might not refer you could come down to issues such as poor response to client inquiries and concerns that are given to you on a plate, all the way through to not requesting feedback in the first place, or if they do give you feedback, handling negative feedback poorly or avoiding it when it is received. And to be clear, whilst these are basically service issues, the handling of them and getting regular feedback and crucially communicating the feedback and improvements to the service definitely come under communications. Part B, inconsistency. Another reason for the why out of the why, what, who, how and when qualify questions is inconsistency. So if an MSP's brand messaging is inconsistent across different communications channels, it can create confusion about their brand identity and the services. And service is a form of communication if you think about it. So therefore, inconsistent service or inconsistent communications in terms of branding and style and clarity of message and timing of communications can confuse or even alienate your customers and your prospects. So that's one great reason right there to communicate regularly and consistently. Part C, lack of engagement strategies. So not engaging clients with regular updates and newsletters or educational content about new services or cybersecurity trends, it means that people's why is significantly diminished, i.e. the why they don't refer you. And that is why I produce regular content for my MSPs and why you should regularly use it and ideally should add to it and communicate it and engage with your prospects and your clients and your other stakeholders on a regular basis. And again, just to repeat, just look at those four silos that we covered last time and I repeated just now and map out a practical marketing communications agenda for each silo. Part D, failure to acknowledge or reward referrals. So if clients who do actually make referrals for you are not acknowledged or rewarded, there might well be little incentive for them to continue to promote your MSP. I mean, think about it. How would you feel if you recommended someone and they barely acknowledged you afterwards? You'd probably feel pretty used or devalued, I expect. And for someone like me, who's forever trying to help people get noticed and pass value around, I find it particularly frustrating and in fact slightly hurtful when people don't acknowledge it. And I know that I should be more thick-skinned about this, especially in business, but I don't suppose I'm alone in this regard. So whilst a referral program can significantly boost referral numbers, and we'll look at that in another session, at the very least, a simple thank you note or a card or some form of gratuity is better than being completely missed by poor communication. Even setting up an automated email is better than nothing. Again, to be clear, have a system in place to make sure things like this don't drop between the gaps. But to be very clear, though, an automated thank you email for a referral is pretty shoddy if you think about it. I'd like to think that you can be a lot more creative and caring than that. And we will look at referral rewards in another section. Part E, miscommunication during onboarding. And what that means is providing insufficient information during your client onboarding process can start your client relationship off on the wrong foot. And I'm very aware this is something I need to get better at myself. It's all too easy to assume that the client will know what's expected of them and where everything is. And again, having this procedurized and well documented can help. And once again, to be clear, I'm acutely aware that I need to be a lot better at this myself. Part F, poor communication of changes in service or policy. Now, whilst onboarding is obviously the biggest transition that a client will have to undergo with you, except for perhaps if they ever leave your services, then any other events that signify change should come with their own well-managed communications as well. And that's because if changes in service terms or prices or policies or procedures are not clearly communicated, clients might well be caught off guard. So remember that if you're taking on board new vendors or anyone else in your value chain, or you're making change to your terms or your policies because a change in the law or insurance or anything like that which you might not have thought about will impact them and needs to be communicated. And part G, lastly, a lack of differentiation. And to be fair, this is more of a reminder about USPs and positioning really. If your business doesn't clearly communicate how it's different from, or better still, better than, your competitors, people may not see a reason to refer you in the first place. Your USP and your target market should be consistent with your brand message. So say, for example, you offer something like 24/7 support for a niche like out-of-hours medical facilities, then you need to make sure that everyone knows it, and it needs to be consistent on your branding and your collateral and everything that goes out from an invoice to a service ticket email. So that covers a lot of the why. For next time, we'll be looking at the what as part of the why, what, who, how and when of the qualifiers about communication sabotage. Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org.